Shalom, shalom, Rolene.
Hello.
Shalom, everybody. Well, I guess you can't get rid of me. I'm back like a bad rash.
And we're grateful about that. We like rashes. We really like rashes.
What a thing to say. All right. Well, you know what? Just tell us what's happening.
With my customary sense of humor and politically incorrect statement. So what's going on in Israel, I hear you asking.
Yes. Tell us about the rescue teams.
Well, I think first of all, we have to extend thoughts and prayers, and I know everybody does, to the people of Brazil and especially the victims and families of those that have been affected by the collapse of the dam on an iron mine in the last couple of days. What we know so far is that 58 people have been confirmed dead and there are at least 300 still missing. So Israel, as is customary, has dispatched a search and rescue delegation of at least 130 conscripted soldiers to assist the Brazilians in search and rescue efforts. Now, what many people don't know is that Israel is usually the first or one of the first to respond to disasters of any kind, be they natural disasters like this or something more nefarious like a terror attack. And often, and we don't talk about it, is the post-trauma of these kinds of situations. So we know that the team has landed. They immediately got to work. They started talks with local officials in charge of the rescue to coordinate their efforts and of course, have been reporting to Israel's foreign ministry. And the Israel Defense Forces today released a statement where they said, following a situational assessment and discussions with local officials, it emerged that search and rescue is the main need at the Brazilian disaster site. So I hope this means that we can expect that more people will be rescued alive, but they've said that they would use radar, underwater sonar, cellular detection systems, I think like the one used in Thailand last year. And I know, Kath, we spoke quite a bit about those rescue efforts and the incredible Israeli ingenuity and inventions that were used there, as well as drone technology to locate missing people. So a big thank you to El Al, which made it possible for the IDF to get there. And we will keep you updated. And this comes off the back of vastly improved ties between Israel and Brazil, with the President Bolsonaro saying that he will move his country's embassy to Jerusalem.
Rolene, on another matter, the million-dollar question, is Mr. Mandelbrot going to indict Bibi Netanyahu?
Well, is he? This is the million-dollar question, and I don't think Netanyahu is necessarily going to like the answer, because we are heading rapidly towards the April 9th elections, and it's very interesting to see how the press here is responding to new parties, especially that started by former Ramatkal IDF chief Benny Gantz called Hossein de Israel. He's getting very, very favorable press, but not getting such favorable press is the current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, the former police commissioner, Ronnie Alshech, said yesterday that he thinks it's difficult to envision a situation where the attorney general will not file bribery indictment charges against the prime minister. And he was speaking at the Institute for National Security Studies. They held their annual conference, and he said that the police have given their facts, they've given their testimony. It's not within the remit of police investigations to file charges, but you know, they've done all that they can do. But he thinks it's now up to Attorney General Mandelbrot, and that he will work according to the professional parameters, and he believes that bribery charges will be filed against Netanyahu. And the Likud and Netanyahu have said that the police have cooked up, quote unquote, a case against him.
Going to be very challenging for Israeli democracy if that actually happens, because will he resign? Won't he resign? Going to be a lot of issues to watch following that one.
Oh, I know. This is going to be a very, very interesting election. So everybody grab your popcorn if you want to wager some a bet on this. It's really, this is going to be an election to watch.
Rolene, do you have Knesset TV? Like we've got Parliament, we've got like the Parliament channel here.
We do have Knesset TV, and as you can imagine, it gets very heated at the Knesset.
Yeah, well, here as well. Okay, very good. So let's also, I wanted to ask you about, Bibi is to meet Hungarian, Polish, Czech, Slovak leaders and International Holocaust, well, for International Holocaust Memorial Day, which was actually yesterday.
Okay. Okay, so that was a bit of my, like, very frantic writing to get my topics to you that I put the International Holocaust. But I did want to touch on that, and in particular the Czech Republic. So let's rewind, blah, 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 complete with sound effects. But Netanyahu is meeting with the Visegrad group of countries, and this is Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia. And why is he doing this? He's doing this because he really wants to build up alliances with blocs within the EU to kind of counter the very, very anti-Israel invective that happens at the European Union and some of the resolutions that come out of Brussels. Now, he's met with Balkan countries or Baltic countries as well. He's met with Greece and Cyprus in the Balkans and in the Baltics, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. You know, it gets very confusing. You know your Balkans from your Baltics. Often a map is needed, but he wants to meet with this group of countries, which some say are the more nationalistic or right-leaning. But I do want to single out the Czech Republic because the Czech Republic is a very, very strong friend of Israel, having started the procedure to move their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but also they came out on the eve of International Holocaust Memorial Day by saying that they will formally adopt the international definition of anti-Semitism. And this comes at a time where anti-Semitism is really rising rapidly to untenable levels. And it comes at a time where we're also watching the UK. What's going to happen with Brexit? Will the UK move to elections, and will Jeremy Corbyn, somebody who whose party is known for anti-Semitism, will they adopt the international definition? So far they have not. So very, very interesting, and very interesting maneuverings from Bibi, and this follows last week's trip to Africa where he reestablished ties with Chad, a largely Muslim country, and rumor has it that maybe Mali is next. Kathy, Simon, everybody in studio, you know, while we are waging bets, do we include this as well?
Don't know. Let's see. Let's see. Yeah, one of the most disconcerting things. Sorry, Simon.
No, fine.
I was doing a little bit of research. You know, before the Jew, when the Jews still had, and this is in relation to International Holocaust Remembrance Day, the Jews had a chance to leave Germany, and there were no countries that would take the Jews. Canada's reaction was, one Jew is one too many. Oh. I mean, think about this today and the relationship with Israel, right? Australia, their reaction prior to the actual Holocaust, when the Jews could still leave Germany, was, we don't want any anti-Semitism. Therefore, we won't have any Jews and we won't have any anti-Semitism. And Sweden said, well, we're just going to do what everybody else is going to do and close our borders because we're a neutral country.
You know, isn't Kathy, that reminds me of the saying that
so
it is chilling. And I think it was the late Elie Wiesel, Holocaust survivor and humanitarian, who said, there comes a time where we cannot be neutral. We have to take a side.
Yeah. And that's where we take our side and we say thank you so much, Rolene Marks. And we'll chat to you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Tomorrow, same time, same place with popcorn.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.